All right. We checked in on the budget with Daniel Erskbaumer from the Pelican Institute, but also this week at the state capitol. It's kind of a carbon capture week, kind of a, not officially, but kind of a de facto carbon capture week. Time to bring in Greg Bowser from the Louisiana Chemical Association to put a recap on this. Greg, what's happening, man?
No, Brian, it's been quite a week at the Capitol. You know, a lot of carbon capture bills. I think we heard about five or six of them. Of course, a couple of them got out. Some of them we think are good. And then the rest of them, we're going to have to do some work.
Okay, let's start with the ones that we think are good. What do y'all have your eyes on that you're in agreement with?
Well, we're watching. The Speaker has a bill that he got out of committee earlier this week. Mm-hmm. Talk about that one first.
Sure.
And basically what he does is he sets up a funding scheme where it allows local government to participate in the revenues that's generated from carbon capture wells on public lands, which is fine. That's an agreement between the state and the locals. So that one's fine. We had a couple of bills that were in committee. HB 35 by Representative Robbie Carter, which basically would have prohibited sequestration projects in St. Helena Parish. And he had one that prohibits the liability damages resulting from carbon capture. And then there's one that gave a local option, which was really strange, would you have to get local approval before you did anything in carbon capture in a parish, in a local government, even if you were doing it on your own land, it was on private land. So those were the three big ones that were out there. The ones that got out of committee, I think Representative Wheat had one. Mm-hmm. Representative Mascarella had one that basically prohibited structures above the water, and so that was that one.
We're talking with Greg Bowser from the Louisiana Chemical Association. All right, let's go back to this bill that Clay Schexnider has out there, because I think this one, I'm curious as to why this wasn't the plan to begin with. If it allows the municipality to share in the revenue generated by the carbon sequestration, that seems like it's fair to me. I mean, if you're the one who's got, you know, if it's your ground that's being affected, you should reap the reward, shouldn't you?
Well, you know, yes and no. But let's remember, it's not your ground. It's state water bottles. So the ground belongs to the state of Louisiana.
Okay.
So technically, it's not the locals. It may be in your parish, but it belongs to the state of Louisiana. And the state does something similar now with mineral rights and all royalties and things like that. They share some of that that's found on public lands. They share some of those royalties with some of the locals. And let's remember, carbon capture, this is the first time. This has never been done to this magnitude. Now, it's been done before where we used CO2 to exclude crude oil from different cavities. And so that's a little different.
All right, for this one then, this sounds like it's more specifically about the project that's going to be under Lake Maurepas, and because there's a number of different projects statewide. And if we're writing the rules for the game, shouldn't we be writing them for all of them?
I agree. And I think that this would apply to all of them, though, Brian, the way it's drafted. Mm-hmm. It would apply to anything on state lands and sharing with the local governments. And so it applies to all of them. It's not just specific to Lake Maurepas. But again, if I had my druthers, I would have a step back, take a hard look at it, and study this thing for a minute to make sure we're doing the right thing, either both for the locals and for the companies who wants to sequester carbon.
Well, and
I'm not sure we're there yet.
No, I completely agree with you, Greg. I feel like there was a lot of just everybody moving really fast all at once in a number of different places. And then you've got localities and like individuals that live on the lake that say, or live near the lake and you know, fish in the lake, recreate in the lake and whatnot, who step back and say, whoa, 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 what are going to be the long-term effects here? And what's my stake? What's my end? I can absorb all the potential negative and receive none of the potential positive, and at the same time have no say in the whole matter, which spurs Sherman Mack's bill, which I think it might not be the right approach either. But with so much happening at once, has that been the tenor of conversation of everybody saying, let's push pause until we get it right?
There's been some discussion about that. Some folks want to push pause, but there's a loud minority, if you will, who wants to just do something right now. You know, the one thing that's also a factor here is this is an election year. Mm-hmm. you know, and politicians have to go out and run in the fall. And so, you know, this is a hot button issue. And then, you know, to say, hey, look, I'm going to punt it to next year. Some of them don't have that luxury to say that.
We're talking with Greg Bowser from the Louisiana Chemical Association. The one about the local municipalities earning revenue off of the carbon sequestration, I thought was interesting from jump, Greg. And I don't want to accuse anyone of anything, but that one was going to be interesting to follow, because if you are with a local municipality and your take on carbon sequestration changed based off of how many dollars were going to end up in your pocket, this was never about the science.
I agree with you. You know, in some of the public hearings, what came out was that some of the public hearings in Livingston Parish, well, I think what the message that came out to me anyway was, what's in it for me? What's in it for our parish?
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned about the jobs. Maybe the jobs are somewhere else. The carbon is being created somewhere else. But, you know, we're going to store the CO2 underground in my parish. Why? What's in it for us?
I get that take from jump, because nobody wants to be the dumping ground, right? But at the same time, though, if you were opposed to it on Monday and in favor of it on Tuesday, and the only thing that changed was the money, then, man, some eyebrows are going to be raised. We're talking with Greg Bowser from the Louisiana Chemical Association. Let's move over to Sherman Maxbill real quick. What's discussion been like? This is HB 454. It would provide for the conducting of a local option election and prohibits the permitting of proposed carbon dioxide sequestration activities without a favorable vote of the people where the activity will occur. What was the discussion like on this one?
Well, that was one that everybody opposed. Basically, you would delay projects because you'd have to get a vote of the people, and you'd have to set an election, and you'd have to do all of that stuff to get that done, to do a process that is highly regulated, that's going on today. They're doing that. Carbon sequestration is going on right now without a vote of the people and without much fanfare. And so the feeling there was that was unnecessary. That was a way of delaying it or putting it off. And so that's the opposition to that bill.
And that one, though, is the one where you mentioned an angry minority about it. That would be one where they would be most vocal, though.
Yes, yes, that would be the one where they'd be most vocal. You know, again, this is a process that happens today,
mm-hmm.
and to say now we want to get a vote of the people, I think it's just not appropriate to do that.
We are talking with Greg Bowser from the Louisiana Chemical Association. Greg, it's been a busy week for carbon capture, but that's not the only thing on y'all's plate. What else has LCA been looking at this session?
Well, we've been watching. There have been a couple of bills that deal with with air monitoring and putting additional monitoring systems in place. This is something we think that the EPA is already going to require some of this. And so what's going to happen is if the state passes a law and says, you got to put all these monitors in and collect all this information and put it in DEQ, and, you know, it's going to cost, you know, about $1 million per facility to do this, and then EPA is going to come back and say, I don't care what the state told you, we're going to tell you to do this additional modeling. And you know, EPA trumps the state anyway. We just think that they ought to just look, let's work through this thing and not just start putting monitors up, because right now we do a lot of monitoring around all of our facilities anyway,
right?
And so you know, when you get information like that, you can't just get raw data and put it out on the internet and say, here's what it is. You know, it needs to be some analytics that goes into it and some way of deciphering what it really means and then putting it out there in a summary fashion.
We've got a couple of minutes left with Greg Bowser from the Louisiana Chemical Association. Greg, so how much does that play into the overall discussion, though? When hearings are being had, when this thing's in committee, how big does your voice carry to talk about what's already been done?
It depends on what's happening. You know, a lot of times, you know, we have experts that come in that talk about it on both sides. One of the things that's unfortunate is that, for example, in committee, we had someone talk about air monitoring and what it does, what it means, and how you do all of this. And said you can do it for $1,700 per facility instead of $1 million per facility. But that's not accurate. And so those are the kinds of things that kind of skew the whole discussion, if you will. But we try to provide the folks with the good information and try to bring in our own experts so that they can talk about it, and hopefully our voices will carry a lot.
We got just a couple minutes left. I do want to ask you about the story I saw on the Business Report yesterday about the Sustainability Council.
Yes.
What's the background on this, and what's LCA's role?
We're part of that Sustainability Council. It's something that we started with other partners. You have the Greater Baton Rouge Chamber is involved in it. GNO Inc. Is involved in it as well as some individual companies. And basically, it's a way to say to a number of folks to kind of push back on the negative stuff that we've been getting from some select groups around the country. For example, the Bloomberg issue. And that really was where it was. Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor, I believe, of New York, mm-hmm. who decided that he was going to get to donate some money. So he gave $80 million to stop petrochemical expansions or development in three states, Texas, Louisiana, and I think Ohio.
So what's the goal of the council?
The goal of the council, I believe, is to get information out there, to let people know exactly what's going on, what we're doing in the chemical industry and manufacturing, and to let them know the jobs, the economic impact that they have on the overall economy. And also to say, hey, listen, these folks are attacking your jobs. We've got 22,000 employees between Baton Rouge and New Orleans that work in the chemical industry. 22,000, a little over 22,000 direct employees. And what Michael Bloomberg and those other folks are saying is, your job's not important. We want it to go away. We're not giving you an alternative. We want to kill your jobs. They're coming for your job, period. And so we want to make that clear.
And hopefully this council can lend to that or walk us towards that solution. In the meanwhile, we are straight up out of time. Greg Bowser from the Louisiana Chemical Association. I always appreciate the time. I look forward to our next visit.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later. Have a great week.